Colourful parades and more sombre protests mark the 10th anniversary of Hong Kong's handover from British to Chinese rule on Sunday. Chinese President Hu Jintao was guest of honour at the official celebrations. He hailed the success of the so-called Two Systems, One Country arrangement, whereby the thriving capitalist territory has kept a high degree of economic and political independence as a special administrative region of its communist-ruled neighbour. However, while Hong Kong ranks as the freest economy in the world, many of its inhabitants were out on the streets on Sunday protesting about the lack of progress towards greater democracy, in particular the right of universal suffrage for the election of its governor or chief executive.
We do have a modicum of democracy, but not what more people would like to see, namely universal suffrage for the chief executive.
Maryknoll Father Peter Barry works at the Holy Spirit Study Center in Hong Kong, which analyzes the changes in mainland China, especially regarding the Catholic Church there. I asked him how ordinary people in Hong Kong have been marking this anniversary.
The ordinary people of Hong Kong, they're happy that Hong Kong has gone back to China, and they're proud of being Chinese, but they're also independent, and they think in terms of Hong Kong, and they're Cantonese speaking, whereas the mainlanders are mostly Mandarin speakers, and so they do have that cultural difference. But I just think they're taking things as they go. As I detected, they're not very excited about the 10th anniversary. It's a milestone, but they're just happy that their way of life hasn't changed very much in the last 10 years.
There was, of course, a lot of concern, wasn't there, that independence you're talking about would be eroded, that there would be major changes. You're saying, really, that those fears were unfounded.
Yes. Generally, that's the case. Well, what shall I say? Business goes on as usual between the two cities. Trade and development keeps growing. They talk about the Delta, Pearl River Delta, and how it's growing economically very well, between the two areas. So and that part of life continues on. And the stock market is growing by leaps and bounds, both in Hong Kong and the mainland. Everyone seems to be doing well economically.
Within the church as well, there was concern, wasn't there, before the handover, that religious freedoms would in some way be curtailed. Would you say those fears were unfounded as well, that there hasn't really been much change to the life of the church in Hong Kong over the past decade?
No, there hasn't. There hasn't been religious freedom. We are free here in Hong Kong to practice our faith as Catholics. Of course, other areas of religious freedom are also preserved. Freedom of the press, freedom to demonstrate. In fact, on July 1st, there will be a demonstration. In addition to celebrating the 10 years of the handover, people will be marching for more democracy in Hong Kong. Universal suffrage for the chief executive, which has not taken place yet. There are democratic elections for 20 or 30 seats. I think it's more like 20 in the Legislative Council out of 60. So you do have a modicum of democracy, but not what more people would like to see, namely universal suffrage for the chief executive. But religiously, fine. Our bishop, our cardinal, as you know, is able to speak out. People may not like it, but he's able to be a voice for the right of abode for children of people who live in Hong Kong, if their children are on the mainland, and many other issues of human rights.
This anniversary of the handover to Chinese rule came just one day after the Vatican made public a letter from Pope Benedict XVI to Chinese Catholics, aimed at promoting cooperation between underground communities of believers and those officially registered with the so-called Patriotic Association. The document, accompanied by a note from the Vatican Press Office, reiterated the Holy See's willingness to establish diplomatic ties with Beijing and invited Chinese authorities to engage in serious dialogue over long-standing difficulties, including the appointment of bishops. In the letter, Pope Benedict acknowledges the suffering that Chinese Catholics have endured, especially those who have practiced their faith underground in order to maintain their loyalty to the Holy See. Father Peter Barry in Hong Kong explains how the underground church in China developed over the decades in response to the government-controlled Catholic Patriotic Association.
The main thing, basically, as we see it in our position of freedom of religion here, one country, two systems, we're completely free like the rest of the world to practice our faith. But the in China, of course, you have supervision, the control of government bodies like the Religious Affairs Bureau and within the church itself, an external structure called the Patriotic Association, which controls the church. And so this is what has happened with the development of those things. When China reopened in 1978 or 9 and brought back religion, the way I see it, they should have left off those old structures. And, you know, they were disbanded with the Cultural Revolution, but no, they brought them back. They brought back the Patriotic Association. They brought back the Religious Affairs Bureau. And these are controlling the religion in China, you know, and of all religions, not just the Catholic faith, but these groups are above the bishops, you would say, above the bishops' conference, for instance, the Patriotic Association is. And so you have laymen ruling the clergy. So there you have an underground church as a response to that. People do not want government control in the church. They want real freedom of religion. And so this gives rise to the underground church. They would rather worship privately than go to the official churches.
We know that there are diplomatic negotiations going on between the Vatican and Chinese authorities to try and overcome these problems, problems of the right of the Vatican to name bishops to the church. Do you expect developments here in the fairly near future or not?
You would hope, you know, in your heart of hearts, hope that negotiations could take place and these questions could be ironed out. For instance, the appointment of bishops is probably the biggest one. I don't know why people from both sides are not able to sit down and discuss these questions. They've been worked out with other communist-ruled countries in the past. We think of Cardinal Casseroli in the 1960s working with the countries of Eastern Europe. But that hasn't been the case with China yet. Maybe I think China wants to get the Olympics out of the way first. There's also a party congress this year in the fall. Probably they want to see who the new leadership will be. Maybe after 2008 we can look for something.
My thanks there to Mary Knoll Father Peter Barry of the Holy Spirit Study Center in Hong Kong. And on the English program over the next few days, we'll be taking a closer look at that letter from Pope Benedict XVI to Catholics in China, hearing reactions from Catholic leaders in the region.